Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we've got a full show for you on this Wednesday with Layla Rahimi alongside. Ian Happ is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so, the host of the Compound Podcast. And he's got, look, he can't drop his podcast a half an hour before our show starts. It's not supposed to work that way, because I was going to listen driving in so I can have little, you know, touchstones and things to ask about. So we're going to get on him for that. I hope he's over his physical and mental recovery period. So we'll discuss. Mike Florio talks football at 10. At 10:40 in a special midday midway, Glenn Kenny, the author of Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, is going to join us to talk about his wonderful book. It's a quick read that is just chock full of everything you want to know about the making of that iconic film. And then Hub Arkish will be ours for one segment at 11, and then he'll be yours for a segment taking calls on the Bears and the NFL. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. Send a text message to the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We're on Twitter. That is at Bernstein670. She is at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And Brian Gertsch is directing our video feed that is on Twitch. I see us right now in this studio looking all like TV-like. So that's kind of your thing, because you're much more comfortable on camera, having been on camera a lot more than I have. But we are here at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And then you can come and be a part of that conversation as well. And Brian Gertsch moderates that discussion. Our executive producer is Jay Zawoski, and the man at whom we can look right now on the board, the executioner, Ray Diaz, doing all the things that he does. But we got to put an end to this. This can't be happening. This can't, and I know Bob Nightingale's doubling down and weighing in and saying that the White Sox managerial job is Tony La Russa's to turn down, that he is the top choice. No. And it flies in the face of everything Rick Hahn said. And I trust that Rick Hahn is running this team. And if he's not, tell me who is.
Well, you know where this came from. We know. Do I need to let you sit in silence and ruminate? Do you want me to take over while Dan Bernstein has a moment?
I just want to know that if it's real and they're hiring him, how do these conversations go? How does it sound? Who's telling whom what? Is Jerry Reinsdorf actually walking down to Rick Hahn's office and saying, Rick, you hire my friend Tony La Russa. This is what we're doing. You don't get to pick the manager.
I don't think he's the number one candidate, like has been said in the article. There's no way that logic defies that whole idea, which is, You're right. There's incongruence there. It's something doesn't jive is really what it comes down to. It doesn't make sense then. Then why does this come out? Then why is it said the way it's said? But to me, there's something to it, but I don't, there's no way this guy is the number one candidate for this job. Just based on logistics alone, it doesn't make any sense. LaRusso's 76 years old.
I mean, this is, I know he's 76, and that's fine. And I don't want to be ageist here.
I don't want to be either, but it's just, you know, at some point, like, things get difficult doing your job and traveling with a baseball team, and there's a pandemic and whatnot.
I want answers today. Somebody's with the White Sox has got to say something. Is this true? Is this real? Is this? And they said that they aren't going to comment on some of these things. But when you went out of your way to say that Ozzie Guillen is not a candidate, that means you are aware of some of these things and some of these storylines growing and becoming things that you don't want them to become. But for every arrow of this organization where everything is pointed, their marketing arm, the makeup of their roster, with everything that you've done, the whole point of this was next generation stuff, next level. Now it's time to do what to emulate the best practices of the best teams. And that's why Rick Hahn said what he said about somebody ideally with managerial experience, with recent World Series champions. We know where this is headed. And it was obvious that you're talking about A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora, or maybe Sandy Alomar Jr., just some of these other names that are on there. He's not talking about Tony La Russa. And if you have some sort of question as to who's running the team and who's making this call, it is frightening as a White Sox fan, frightening to me that something like this could be allowed to happen at this stage, that you would make this move to do this. There's no explaining it.
Well, and we said, when we talked about this in our pre-show meeting, we mentioned how it sounded so different from what Rick Hahn said in that press conference on Monday, where he's telling people, we're not going to have this get out like this. And if a candidate interviews, then that's another thing. And then this comes out and it's totally different because Tony La Russa is not saying he's interviewed. And Bob Nightingale has sources.
Let's hear from Rick Hahn. This is what Hahn said.
Managerial experience is probably ideal. It's not essential. We're not going to unduly limit ourselves. I believe 6 of the 8 managers that were still playing as of last week were in their first jobs. Obviously, we've seen others within our division, Rocco Baldelli doing a wonderful job with Minnesota in his first job, his first chance in the big chair. So we're not going to cut off any avenues, but ideally having that October managerial experience would be a plus. But again, we're not going to cut ourselves off for that. As for being a modern manager, yeah, that's going to be important. Having an understanding of the clubhouse, the rhythm of the game, a good gut feel, but at the same time, being able to balance that with modern analytics is a plus for any candidate. But again, I don't want to go too down the path of laying out traits of what we're looking for, because that could potentially color how the conversations go when we get in the room with the candidates. But those are sort of the broad strokes.
That's him in his words. And I don't think he's lying.
I don't think so either. But I think that's why you have to consider the La Russa information differently than how it's exactly being reported.
Let me read the tweet.
Yeah.
This is Bob Nightingale's tweet. Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa is the White Sox number one candidate to manage their club. That's what he wrote on, that's not in USA Today. It's not in his article that's filed as opinion. That is in Bob Nightingale's Twitter feed. White Sox number one candidate. I don't know what he knows, and I don't know what he knows to be able to report that. But if that's true, someone other than Rick Hahn is forcing this down and making these decisions. And it's terrifying to think about. By the way, we've got a little bit of breaking news here I want to get to. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. This, according to the Panthers' Twitter feed, the Panthers have entered the NFL's intensive protocol after Falcons rookie defensive tackle Marlon Davidson was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. As of Wednesday morning, Carolina has not placed a player on the reserve COVID-19 list, making these precautionary measures. But that's just something to watch now, that if there was an exposure, if there was transmission, that in fact the Bears game could, some, it's at least on a watch list right now for maybe being in jeopardy of being postponed. So we'll keep an eye on that as things go on. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer, beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. We are going to have a conversation with Cubs outfielder Ian Happ in moments. Keep it here. You have the Dan Bernstein Show with Layla Rahimi in, because it's Wednesday and that's what we do. And we're here in studio having fun on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Welcome back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs.
Happ hits a high drive deep to left. Dickerson at the wall. It's gone! A go-ahead home run for Ian Happ on a 1-2 pitch.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Now he's got all the tools.
That man at third and only one out.
That is going to be caught by Happ on the dive.
A run-saving play by Ian Happ. Spectacular catch out there in right center field. Ian goes headlong on the sinking line drive and hauls it in.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We're joined by Dom Frederick, the director of morale for the Chicago Cubs. Is that an official title?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an official title. I'm very thankful to be here. Very, very humbled. Honestly, it's a big day for me because I've been grinding on Twitter for whatever it is, 7-8 years, and now I'm here.
I even saw you had an article about you with the Tribune, no? Or they mentioned you at least?
Yeah, 2 years ago. There's a lot of backstory. I've gotten a lot of skepticism in the past, a lot of hate in the past. I have some enemies out there in the media.
I actually saw an attack on an enemy today. Did you attack Sully today, Paul Sullivan?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. He was the one who wrote that article 2 years ago. Oh, I have a list.
Ian Happ with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. Welcome
back. Ian Happ can be found on Twitter at @IHAP_1. The Cubs outfielder and host of the Compound Podcast is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And Ian, you can't drop the podcast like an hour before we go on the air here, because usually, you know, I it's part of my cardio workout the day before. I make my notes. I find things to talk about. You sneak that one in on us.
You know, that's completely my fault. I take full responsibility. I promised our listeners that I would get the podcast out on Tuesdays from now on, and wasn't able to get it out yesterday. So I apologized at the end of the podcast. I apologized on Twitter last night because I made a statement that moving forward, we're going to do recording on Mondays and releases on Tuesdays. So I'm going to try to rest of the offseason, Tuesday releases.
I think you should have blamed Dom. He's the director of morale. He can handle it.
Great point. He had our morale at all-time high, so I can't put anything on him. His performance on the Compound was incredible. He loves the Cubs. He's so passionate about it. And I love his positivity. He's always so positive.
So wait, who ended up interviewing who here? Because the both of you could have just been a conversation. He could have been asking you questions. You have to give us a preview now since it's a late release.
Yeah, he ends up taking over a little bit. I think we asked him some questions and we just kind of talked a little bit about this perception around the Cubs that sometimes if there's not a good September performance or if the team doesn't win the World Series, they'll let down. But the other part of it is appreciating that we've been to five out of the last six postseasons, appreciating that we've won three division titles in the last 5 years, and just some of the little things that but I think he does a really good job of, and he does a really good job of being positive about players and sticking with Yu Darvish. And, you know, he made a comment about Chris Bryant and the fact that in a normal season, how many at-bats does he have and where is he with being able to turn the corner, and some of the examples of guys in the past who have had rough first halves. I think as a fan, his appreciation for the team, appreciation for what we've accomplished, and just always positivity. You know, he's never leaving and he's still here. He just wants to love the Cubs and have everybody come out and enjoy baseball at Wrigley Field.
I also think, and it's no small thing, that the Cubs remained healthy. That with everything else that's going on, I mean, ultimately, a baseball game's a baseball game, and I know that we look at all this. I know it's your job, and we look at this with sort of outsized significance, but we can't lose sight of the larger environment and the heavy lift that it was to keep everybody in line and as disciplined as you were. I think that's a major achievement organizationally that you guys were able to be at your best health in all this.
Yeah, and I think more than just the players. I think you're right. Organizationally, it was a huge lift. And I think the respect that all of the players had for the staff and for everyone that was helping us on a daily basis, that everybody got their pay cut. You know, it wasn't just the players. You know, staff had pay cuts, and they still came to work every day enthusiastic, and they shut down their personal lives. They shut down everything else that they were doing to be there for us, to be committed to us, and to not bring anything into the environment that would hinder a season. And I think that is something that we have to really appreciate and say that that was a huge accomplishment from not just the players, but top to bottom.
You sound like you have emerged from your funk. That is, I don't know if it's, you know, you said physically sometimes it's tough, and then mentally it weighs on you a little bit. What a difference a week makes, because you sound like you have a completely different energy.
Yeah, I think it does. It takes a week. It takes stepping back. It takes getting out from under what the season was, appreciating it, and trying to move on and focus on what you need to do for next spring training. I've been in Columbus, Ohio. I'm seeing my mom for the first time in, since March. So, I'm doing some real world things. I'm being able to see my family and get back to, I don't know, just some really positive things in my life that I'm happy to be doing after 7 or 8 months of not being able to do it.
Yeah, and let's face it, cross-country travel is tough. Seeing your family is tough, especially when you guys have to travel to do so. So I'm sure you're getting some nice time, and we're glad you are. And it's funny because you mentioned Dom, and we do have fun with his unofficial official title of being the director of morale. But in that spirit, I wanted to ask you this last week, and I'll ask you this week. So many times, you know, Ian, we hear about rookie managers and the mistakes that they make based on the stage that they're on in baseball. But we didn't hear that when it came to David Ross. Do you think we've underrated his rookie season and how he fared as a manager a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think his expectations were really high just because everybody knew him so well as a person. And the other part is I think that this was a really difficult year to manage in. You know, besides the fact that the DH was put in, everything else that we had to go through as a team and managing players, I think behind the scenes, nobody appreciated how much Rossi was doing on a daily basis, because it wasn't just coaching on the field. The managing of people and issues that would arise, whether it was with testing or with players getting scratched. We had a 2-week, 3-week stretch there where somebody was getting scratched 30 minutes before the game every single day. And you know, you have the testing and the short buildup, and you have all these factors that came into play that he was dealing with behind the scenes that he didn't talk about, he didn't get asked about, and that people didn't get to see. But he managed them so well. He did such a good job communicating with the players and taking a team that, as we've stated, struggled pretty much the entire season, and still won a division, still came out with the top 3 seed going into the playoffs. So I think there's a lot that wasn't talked about with what he's done, and his first year was really exceptional, and I'm really looking forward to what he's going to do in the full season.
Yeah, and we appreciate you giving us that insight and taking us into a daily process that we didn't know, you know, and until you guys talk about that stuff, we don't get to see it. We only get to see the on-the-field product and, you know, brief discussions before and after the game. What was it like talking to him, too, as the manager, and coming to him with discussion, knowing that he's somebody who everybody knows and he is an approachable person, at least when it comes to his public persona? We know that for sure. I'm assuming it's that way and then some for you guys.
Yeah, I think the best part about him is that you can have an honest conversation, that he'll shoot you straight. He's not afraid to have those conversations. I think there's a ton of respect there too between the players and Rossi. And I think that the one of the coolest parts for me was just the teaching moments and his experience in the game and as a catcher and being able to, he was never afraid to come up after a game and to kind of say, you know, what you did in this situation, maybe next time think about doing it this way, or here's your kind of learning bit. And for me, as you know, kind of the first year that I was starting every day, and kind of hitting in the leadoff spot and learning from that and learning with a couple guys hitting behind you that are, you know, have had a ton of success in long careers. It's just the little things that you have to learn throughout the course of a season, where this year it was probably 50 games that I got to learn, but I, you know, I'm excited for 150 or 160 games getting to take in all those experiences and put them into play.
Are you watching the playoffs?
A little bit. I watched probably the last six innings of the Dodger game yesterday, and you know, here and there. I would encourage everybody to watch the playoffs. I know the ratings have been down a little bit, and I'm not sure why that is, but I think the series has been pretty great. I think the Braves and the Dodgers are going to have some really good games here coming up, and I think watching the Rays bullpen is really, really impressive. Those guys, the staff that they've put together, the arms that are coming out of that pen are ridiculous.
So did you hear about the question that was asked to Mark Melancon? Because we all know things got pretty tight in that game. It ended up being 8-7, the final. Did you hear about what was asked to Mark Melancon after the game by chance? Because if not, we have it, and I want you to take a listen.
Yeah, I saw the clip. just an incredible. He did a good job of answering it without being super rude to the to whoever asked the question, because that was just, I'm not even sure what he was trying to say, but it's, you know, if you win a baseball game, you win a baseball game. And the momentum of being up 2-0 in a 7-game series against arguably, you know, the best team in the league is, there's no questions there.
I want everybody to take a listen and let's laugh one more time. At least you, me, and Dan, who've watched it, Ian. Ray, let's dial it up. Let's take a listen to what we're referring to now. This was asked by the Atlanta media to Mark Melancon after the Braves go up 2-0 on the Dodgers.
Mark, can you look at this as, you guys almost blew the entire lead, but can you look at it as, hey, we survived, and that's all the postseason's about? You showed something there in the end by, you know, against a team like that. I mean, you're up 2-0 now. However you got there.
I don't.
I mean, can you take a positive out of, even though you blew most of that lead? You still
we didn't blow a lead. I don't really understand your question.
Can you still take something positive out of this? You're still up 2-0 in the series despite, you know, blowing a big lead. Can you leave this thing feeling, you know, good that you survived this game?
I think that's a terrible question. I'm not even going to answer it.
And you're right. That is a terrible question. I don't know where that's coming. Have you found yourself, Ian, in that position? Maybe on this show, in a position where you just have to sort of work your way out as politely as you can.
Yes. And there's sometimes that occasionally reporters will try to lead you, and they won't actually ask a question. And I think that for me, it's like, where's the question there? That's always the answer for me. It's like, was that a question, or where's the question? Because at that point, when he's saying, you almost blew the lead, can you take anything positive out of this? You're up 2-0.
We won.
Okay. Yeah. We won the game.
So how do you handle now as we get into the offseason? You know, I'm looking at Sahadev Sharma. He already just posted a piece, Cubs trade chips, who's on the block this offseason? And he goes through everybody, including this paragraph when he's talking about the possibility that one Ian Happ could. Would it make sense to sell high on Ian Happ and address multiple needs while doing so? Perhaps. And then he sort of debunks that by saying, outside of being bowled over, it wouldn't line up with the current direction of the team. So he asks a question, answers his own question, but everybody's throwing names out there. And how do you deal with it for yourself and for when you hear your teammates' names come up?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit with Tom on the podcast and just about negative headlines and the clickbait that goes along with headlines like that. Like, come look at all the trade tips and then pay for the subscription to The Athletic. And it's, for me, it's just, it's something that we deal with every year. We've dealt with it every year since 2000, maybe 17 or 18, I guess. And it's part of the business. It's part of this job. It comes along with it. It's unfortunate that it's such a big piece of the off season that now, there's so much that goes along with the trade aspect, and maybe even, I mean, trade, I think trade talks are far more interesting to the fan base than free agency has been in the past few years, which is, it's kind of a flip. And yeah, it's difficult from a human perspective. It's difficult for anybody who thinks they've established a relationship with an organization, a relationship with a fan base, to ever hear that kind of stuff. I think, you know, you get used to it over a certain amount of time. But I think one of the craziest things to me was playing with Cam Nabin this year and just hearing him talk about how many times he's been traded and how many times at the deadline he's been moved from a team to a contender. And I fortunately in my career have not experienced the trade and have just been with the Cubs since I was drafted. But that's a lot to go through as a person to uproot your life, you know, maybe multiple times throughout the course of a year.
I would just like to say on behalf of all reporters who've definitely airmailed questions, so to speak, and messed them up, we thank you for your patience, Ian.
We've all been there.
Amen.
Anything we need to know about Quarantine Coffee and the ongoing efforts?
You know, right now, Quarantine Coffee is in Dallas in the ballpark in Arlington, and pretty cool that those guys are enjoying it. Kitch Fix has done a great job with getting coffee down there. We just sent a couple more 5-pound bags, but we're excited about the subscriptions that we have on the website now. We're going to start sharing that link coming up this week, and then we have a bunch of game use stuff that we're not sure what we're going to do with it yet, but at some point some bags of coffee are going to go out with batting gloves or cleats or science hats or something. So we're getting it all ready for the off-season push.
Outstanding. Enjoy. Good to hear you in good spirits and continue good health.
Thanks so much.
That is Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs, who we've really enjoyed getting to know throughout this season. And I certainly hope the Cubs don't trade him, because you take him out of those team stats and you don't want to look at some of the offensive numbers from this year. You know, might not want to look anyway. We are going to talk football with Mike Florio next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.